This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week's podcast is brought to you by BHP. Copper is a big deal in the energy transition because it's used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. When it comes to producing copper responsibly, it's happening now at BHP. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Wednesday the 24th of April. In your Squiz today, Lerman could face a costly bill, Musk and Albanese face off, the UK enshrines a new deportation law, and a classic Anzac biscuit. This is your Squiz today. Bruce Lerman's defamation trial is back in the headlines, Siobhan, but this time it's over who is going to pay for it. Network 10 wants Lerman to pay their entire legal bill. It's arguing that he brought the case on a deliberately wicked and calculated basis.
So just to go back to last Monday, Alice, that's when Justice Michael Lee found on the balance of probabilities, Lerman had raped Brittany Higgins inside Senator Linda Reynolds' Parliament House office in 2019, thus ending Lerman's defamation case. Mm. Now, as you say, 10 feels he should foot the bill for their lawyers, which experts say comes in at around $8 million. So it's not small change. They argue that Lerman should stump up because he sought substantial damages in court when he knew that he had raped Ms. Higgins, that's their words, which they say is an abuse of process. For his part, Lerman has asked the court to excuse him from paying Tens and Wilkinson's costs.
Yeah, so Justice Lee is considering both parties' submissions and he's expected to make a decision next Wednesday. But that wasn't the only big revelation yesterday, Siobhan. Court documents also showed that Lerman turned down a walkaway offer to settle with Ten and Wilkinson before the trial began.
That's right, and that deal would have seen Lerman walk away with no apology or admission of liability and no cash settlement, with parties bearing their own costs. But despite having 2 weeks to mull it over, Lerman rejected it in less than 2 hours, saying it didn't give him an opportunity for vindication.
Of course, there's no way to know yet if Justice Lee will side with Ten and order Lerman to pay their legal bills. But given reports say Lerman is currently unemployed and homeless, there are already questions about whether he has the means to do so and what will happen if he cannot. So I'm sure we'll be speaking about this one again. Billionaire Elon Musk hasn't exactly been winning hearts and minds in Australia this week, Siobhan. He's continued to trade barbs with PM Anthony Albanese and other political leaders over the publishing of graphic content on X, which is, of course, formerly Twitter. But it could come to a head tonight when an interim injunction against the social media giant is set to expire.
So on Monday night, Alice, Australia's eSafety Commissioner won that emergency interim injunction, as you say, in the federal court to remove videos of last week's terror attack at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Sydney. That is due to expire at 5 p.m. and X will give its response. But Musk has already accused PM Anthony Albanese of censorship, saying if any country is allowed to censor content for all countries, then what is to stop any country from controlling the entire internet?
Albanese disagrees with that, and he said he won't cop any flack from Musk. He described him as a bloke who's chosen ego and showing violence over common sense. The UK has legislated a controversial offshore processing policy for asylum seekers this week. And if that sounds familiar, it's because former PM Boris Johnson and current PM Rishi Sunak took inspiration from Australia's similar policy, Siobhan.
That's right. So they also adopted the Stop the Boat slogan, which Squizzers might remember was made famous by former Aussie PMs Tony Abbott and Scott Morrison. In the UK, it's been a really drawn-out battle to get this across the line for Sunak, but now that it has passed, it could see some asylum seekers who travel to the UK in boats flown to the East African country of Rwanda, and that's where their claims will be considered. Then, if they are given refugee status, they will be resettled there.
Critics of that plan say that it's inhumane and threatens the UK's rule of law. But reports say despite the bill passing, future deportation attempts will still face significant legal challenges. And that makes it unlikely that large numbers of people will end up being sent to Rwanda. This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Superannuation can sometimes feel like just another overwhelming life admin chore. But as a member of Aware Super, you'll have access to lots of free online tools to help you, like their My Retirement Planner, which allows you to see how much you might need for retirement and comes with an easy-to-understand plan of how to get there. Read the PDS and TMD at aware.com.au. A 14-year-old Aussie skateboarder has well and truly made her mark on international sports history, Siobhan. Arisa True from the Gold Coast was named Action Sportsperson of the Year at the Laureus World Sports Awards on Monday.
Yeah, so they were held in Madrid, and if that award wasn't impressive enough, True was also the only Australian athlete to leave with a trophy. And she joins other international stars like Novak Djokovic and Simone Biles on the winners list. Now, as for what scored her that acclaim, she really made history last year when she became the first female skater to land a trick called the 720 during a competition. And she was only 13 years old at the time, so really impressive.
Yeah, in fact, she's been called a prodigy, so she is very impressive. That trick involves two full rotations in midair, and if you want to have a look at it, there's some great videos of her completing it online. We've linked to those in the Squiz Today newsletter, and I'll pop a link in the episode notes today. The teenager now has her sights set on the Paris Olympics and has a couple of qualifying competitions before the skateboarding team is named. Siobhan, it's only Wednesday today, but we're shaking it up a bit with a recipe. And of course, it has to be one for Anzac biscuits.
Absolutely. We've gone completely rogue, but I think people will forgive us. And the good news is there's still plenty of time to make a batch or two before tomorrow. And we've actually got one from Claire to share with Squizzers. It's her mother's recipe, which is lovely. And it's a real classic with golden syrup, coconut and oats. Mm. So we'll pop a link to that in the episode notes today as well. But while we're on this topic, Alice, some government research into Anzac Day traditions has found that recipes for classic Anzac bikkies, as we know them, aren't actually so classic because originally they were known as a wafer or tile, yummy, and were basically a hard tack biscuit, which is kind of a long shelf life biscuit substitute for bread, and apparently not very popular necessarily with the soldiers at Gallipoli, which I can imagine based on that description.
Yeah, they make me think of the 4x2 dog biscuits that I give to my dog, Siobhan, so they do sound very appetising. Thankfully, they've evolved into something a little bit tastier now,
yes,
though.
Yes, a bit less beefy.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're keen to get an authentic experience, the ABC has compiled some of the old school recipes, so I'll pop the link to that in the episode notes too. Squiz the day, Siobhan. Claire and Kate's latest News Club episode is out, and it's all about the diabetes drug Ozempic.
Yeah, so I really want to draw Squiz's attention to this latest episode of News Club because Claire and Kate talk about the diabetes drug, as you say, which is now being really heavily touted as a weight loss drug, particularly in the US. Any issues of weight management are sensitive, but Claire speaks really openly about her own experience taking Ozempic. We don't talk about ourselves a lot, so it's really a unique opportunity and something to listen out for.
If you're keen to listen to that episode, look for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow. And that's it from us today. And just a quick reminder that we'll be off for Anzac Day tomorrow, but we will be back with you on Friday. So we'll speak to you then.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress yeah. that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.